Hello, you're listening to Romeo And, a podcast about masculinities, nice guys, sexism, and what it means to be a man in our society today. I'm your host, Street Saint. Hey, you're here, listening to the show. Awesome. Congratulations. Thanks for doing that. If you were around for the end of last season, season 3 of the show, you got to witness everything slowly falling apart. Okay, that's pretty dramatic. Everything is fine, I'm still here, but my website is now a pumpkin. So if you follow me on Twitter, @street_saint, you might have seen my comments on the demise of the site. Basically, some hackers got a hold of my site and poisoned it to death. It was pretty sad, but, I mean, it's okay. I mean, everything was backed up, and it was an old site anyway. It was probably for the best. It's in a better place now. Somewhere in some internet graveyard on a server far away. But it's still sad since, you know, I've been slowly building the site since, like, 2008, I think. I don't know, long before I started the podcast. In any case, I decided not to rebuild the site, at least not yet, not right now anyway. The podcast is completely unaffected. It was on a completely different, you know, server and site and everything, so, you know, you can still listen to all the old episodes. We're good. It's all here. But then you already know that because here you are listening to the podcast, so I guess I didn't really need to tell you that. But if you want to get the episodes and the show notes online, you'll have to go to my Podbean site at romeoand.stsaint.com. And now you might be wondering, why not rebuild the site if it's been in the making for so long? If you've been working on it and you've, you know, put all your time and effort into building it up, why not, you know, get some antivirus, whatever, get rid of all the hacker stuff and fix it, whatever. And I could, it would just take a lot of time and effort and money that I don't really have to invest right now. I mean, the truth is, I'm also working on another extremely daunting project that I can't really reveal too much information about just yet. And so sorry for the teaser, but it's, you know, it's just not ready for public scrutiny yet. So don't judge me. All I can really say is that if you're a gamer and a nerd like me, and you like podcasts, then you should probably be excited. And now I've already said too much. In any case, I'll make a less vague announcement about that once it's in a decent place that I can share about it. But for now, let the speculation commence. But anyway, while I've been working on this other project, my plate has been completely and overwhelmingly full lately. I made a commitment to this podcast, so I'm going to keep it running, but I'm once again doing some major tuning to the show's focus this season. Unfortunately, the amount of changes I wanted to make couldn't really be done in the small amount of time that I had between seasons, not to mention the other project and the fact that my website blew up, and there's been a lot going on. So, this season, I'm going to present to you Romeo And Mini, or Romeo And Light. Shorter episodes focusing on particular issues, points of interest, current events, that kind of thing. Basically, just the introductory rants that veteran listeners are already used to hearing by now. And next season, I hope to do the same, but also have, you know, some guests lined up and provide their insight as well. And once again, I can't reveal too much about what that's going to be because I'm not quite sure what it is yet. So, you know, we have things in the works, but it's going to be great. I promise that it's going to be the best that I can do. But that said, if you're itching to be on the show with me, or you know someone else who has opinions, then let me know and we'll try to work something out. All right, so that's the deal with the show. Now let's talk about the real world. There's so much that I wanted to say about what's been happening in the world right now that I totally missed out on last month. And now it's August and I don't even know where to begin. And of course, since I've been so busy, I haven't really been keeping up with my notes. And so I feel like a lot of it has just been lost to the ether of my mind. Anyway, something that I have noticed in the past on the show is that I've been talking a lot about race issues. And when I started doing it, I prefaced it with like a little caveat of some kind, something like, don't worry, I never really talk about race, so, you know, this isn't going to be a common thing. And then I just kept having to bring it up because of how relevant and important it's been lately. But this is something that has been the case all throughout my life. You know, I never used to talk about race, which is why I would always, you know, give that little disclaimer when I talked about race on the show. Like, don't worry, this is not something that I usually talk about. The fact is, I pretty actively avoided the topic, to be honest, because I didn't want to be that black person. I didn't want to be the black guy that made everything about race because it was so cliche. Of course, the black guy is going to have some issue with race. And all my life, all I've ever really wanted is to disassociate myself from my blackness. And not that I wanted to be white, I just didn't want my white friends to see me any differently. I wanted to blend in, but still, you know, embrace that uniqueness that I had. But in the past few months, I've noticed a big change in my stance. I've become more and more involved and interested and vocal about what's been going on in the country, in the world. I've come to terms with the fact that no matter how much I might try, I can never really erase my blackness. I used to think that that was a shortcoming, but now I choose to see it as a source of pride, because as a black person, I'm never going to have the same experiences as my white peers. Life is just different for me, and that doesn't have to be a bad thing. In fact, we should be embracing these elements of ourselves that make us different. But ultimately, in this day and age, blackness is a challenge. It's going through life on hard mode. Watching the news lately just proves this. If I were shot by a police officer, execution style, in broad daylight with witnesses present and cameras filming the whole thing, I sincerely believe that that would be the end of it. Now I'm dead. My family would mourn me, and there would probably be some public outrage, but that's about it. Life would go on. The officer would maybe be suspended from duty a few weeks and then be back on his job as if nothing happened. I mean, if it weren't for the Black Lives Matter movement, that's exactly what would have happened to Tamir Rice, Freddie Gray, Walter Scott, Michael Brown, Alton Sterling, Philando Castile, and all of the many others. They would have just been unnecessarily killed by law enforcement, and no one would have batted an eye. We would have just moved on with our lives as if it wasn't even a big deal. Because historically, it hasn't been a big deal. Black people get killed by police officers all the time, and it's like, well, that's just, you know, that's life. If it weren't for Black Lives Matter, we probably would never have even heard of these people. And I used to fall into the same mindset of a lot of white people and a lot of my white friends, that if these people had only done the right thing, if only they hadn't broken the law, if only they hadn't run away, if only they hadn't dressed so suspiciously, if only they hadn't acted so recklessly, aggressively, or angrily, maybe they would have been spared. But then I look at my own life and I recognize a really disturbing pattern that I am no different from these people who were shot and killed. You know, I ask myself, what would I have done in these situations? How might things have turned differently in my case? Because, you know, I'm a good black person. You know, I get along with white people. I do all the right thing. Like, I'm one of those black people that absolutely shouldn't be shot because I'm a good one, quote unquote. You know, I am the shining example of what a black person should be in this country, frankly. I grew up in a majority white, middle-class neighborhood. I got a good education. I went to college. I got a bachelor's degree. I pay my taxes. I don't talk about race or racism. I'm friendly to the police. I stay out of trouble and don't do anything illegal. You know, my thinking was, I've done everything white people expect of me, so surely they won't see me as a threat, right? Like, that was my understanding growing up until, you know, last year. And then just the other day, I had this kind of eye-opening realization because, you know, I was walking down the street. I had just left the house. I realized I forgot my keys. And so I turned around to go back and get them, and I see this white woman walking by herself ahead of me, and, you know, it's late evening, you know, there's no one else around on the street and everything, and so I see that she, like, looks over her shoulder, she notices me, and she, you know, clutches her purse and hurries off, and actually, like, bolts into her house, like, locks the door really quickly behind her, and, like, starts looking out the window to see if I was still trailing her. I witness all of this happen. And the fact of the matter is, I don't blame her at all. Like, she's a young woman walking by herself in the evening on a quiet street, and a black man she doesn't know turns around and starts walking in her direction. Like, you know, I would be freaked out too. You know, I can't blame her for being terrified. But for me, this experience really hit home this reality that it doesn't really matter how nicely I clean myself up. It doesn't matter what kind of education I have. It doesn't matter where I was raised or who my friends are or how I dress. I'm always going to look like a scary black man when I'm walking down the street by myself. You know, and that's the case with every single police shooting we've seen on the news. It's a police officer killing a scary black person that he doesn't know. There's really nothing that they could have done differently in the situation other than to not be scary and black. And then I started thinking, well, what if this woman that was walking on the street with me, what if she was armed? What if she had a gun? What if she turned around and just straight up shot me in the chest? What, like, would she be arrested? No, like, you know, I want to say, like, probably not, but it's not even probably not. Like, I can't think of a scenario where she would be arrested. I mean, ultimately it would be her word against mine, and seeing as I am dead in this situation, obviously I can't explain myself, so, you know, what would she say? She's like, well, I was walking down the street, and this guy, I don't know, he turned around and started following me, and, you know, I didn't know what to do. I was so scared. I just... You know, he was like breathing down my neck, and I don't know what he was gonna do to me, so I just turned and shot, and I was so scared. And then she starts breaking down crying, and everybody would feel so sorry for her. You know, I mean, how could she know that I was just running home to grab my keys? You know, she was legitimately scared for her safety, so she pulled the trigger. Her fear would be totally justified. And a lot of people would even call her a hero for taking a stand and protecting herself. What a strong woman for being independent and having a weapon on her. And this is what I'm getting at. We can look at the situation from either side. Did the victim look threatening? Was the killer scared for his or her life? Of course they're going to pull the trigger in that scenario. Like, that's not the issue here. The issue is, why do we have this fear of black bodies? Is it fair for us to instinctively regard anyone with brown skin as a threat to our safety? Where do we draw the line? Like, yes, all lives matter, but it's the black lives who were okay with gunning down on a whim without consequences. So it's important that we remind people that our lives are just as valuable as all the other lives that also matter. The really funny thing is, a few years ago, I would totally have been an all lives matter person. You know, why do we have to make this into a race thing? Clearly, every life has value. But erasing race from the equation just means that everyone is regarded as the default. And the default is not human being. The default is white in this country. And that's why white people are so comfortable with this idea of colorblindness. If we don't talk about or bring up race, it will just go away, right? Wrong. No, it will not. It hasn't. We already know for a fact that that's false because it hasn't yet. If we keep pretending that race doesn't matter, these instances where race so clearly plays a pivotal role in how events unfold will continue to be glossed over. The only way race is really going to go away is if we are able to talk about it, if we're able to joke about it, you know, to call it out and see it for what it is. I don't have the luxury of pretending my skin color doesn't play a huge role in where I am and how people see me. I don't have that luxury. And if you describe yourself as colorblind, I mean, you know, unless you're actually colorblind, but you know, if you think you don't see race, or if you say all lives matter instead of black lives matter, all it means is that you haven't had a similar enlightenment. And you still believe that people can exist in this country, in this world, without their race heavily impacting their life. And if you do believe this, you are fundamentally wrong. It's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of fact and fiction. And so I'm going to stop apologizing for talking about race, because not only is it an important issue to address, especially nowadays, you know, and an issue that a lot of people just gloss over because, oh, well, I don't see race, but it actually goes hand in hand with a lot of the issues I cover on the show about masculinity and feminism. If we're going to talk about marginalized groups, we can't avoid talking about intersectionality. We have to bring up race and class and all of the issues that make people marginalized in society. And so my request of you is to take a good hard look at your own life and your own stances. If the only people you really agree with or look up to or share your ideals with look just like you, then consider that there might be a reason for that. Realize that when black people mobilize, it's generally to fight for certain civil rights. When women mobilize, it's to fight for certain civil rights. When gay and trans people mobilize, it's for certain civil rights. But when white people mobilize, It's to deny the rights of blacks and women and the queer community, or to diminish these claims that they lack equal rights and opportunity. You know, white people are not fighting for civil rights because they have all of those. It's when other people start to fight for their rights that white people suddenly feel the need to gather together and group up and say like, oh, no, don't worry, you're good where you are. But we rarely think about it and talk about it that way. Something to consider. But that's it for this episode of Romeo and Light. I hope something you heard in this episode made you think some things. And if you did think some things, don't keep it to yourself. If you're a man, or you care about men, and you have opinions, I want to hear them. contact@stsaint.com is the email here at the podcast. Send me an email or leave me a brief voice message at 516-514-7878. Without all of you listening, I'm just here shouting into a void, so let me know your thoughts, and who knows, you could even be the next guest here on the show. But also follow me on social media, like me, Street Saint, on Facebook, or follow me on Twitter @street_saint. New episodes of Romeo And are published every other week, so make sure you get every episode when it's released by subscribing to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the podcatcher of your choice. And if you do nothing else, just go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating. There's nothing more valuable for the show than getting a bunch of great ratings from all you guys. Thanks again for listening. I am Street Saint, and I'll catch you next time.